children depart. Good to see you this morning. It's great to be home. In the short period that we've been gone, we kind of really missed you guys a whole lot. But I enjoyed fellowship with my mother, and just great having fellowship with my brothers and sisters back at home. But it's good to be back here. It take me down just a slight bit, Joe. Down just a slight bit there. It's great to be back here. Facebook does tell a lot of truth. We did eat a lot of good food. A lot of great food. It was good. But it's good to be back here. I have something in my heart that I want to share that I waited a long time on God before I decided to come through with this, is because I didn't want to do anything out of my own opinion and my own preferences, but I wanted to hear what God had to say on the matter. So I want to talk to you about this morning about the Brexit, Hillary, Trump gate. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. Man, it's good to see you. New faces, it's good to see you here this morning. I pray God to bless you, and I hope you get some clarity and direction for the season that is going on in the world today. Exodus chapter 10. And I just want to read a couple of verses, and then we'll speak about these eventually, but I need to get you to a place in your mind, to the place that I am at this present time. So Exodus chapter 10, I'm going to start reading from verse 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. All the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. It doesn't matter what was happening outside. Now we know what was happening inside the house was light. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, it may be bad out there, but when you're in Christ, it's going to work out good. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Yeah, it may be darkness in the community, but in your heart and in the house, there's going to be light. Amen. Yeah, there may be trouble in the community, but in the heart and in the house, there's going to be peace. Yeah, a lot of times, you know, we are manipulated or influenced by world events and what is taking place in the world. And sometimes we assume that the same things will happen to us because they're happening all around us. But I want to encourage you this morning that God didn't bring you into his kingdom for you to be subject to the stuff that the world is subject to. But he brought you into his kingdom so that he can declare that there is a difference between those who serve God and those who don't. Amen. He brought you into his kingdom to make a declaration that he is a God who's able not only to save, but to keep what he's going to say. Okay, so we're going to get somewhere today. I'm good, glad to be here. Miss Claire, God bless you. Had a good time when we were over there and we were eating food. I went to a place that I didn't see the man. I knew this man. I think his name was Coffee, and I knew this man since 1969. And when I went back to this place of preparing food, I had some fried chicken wings. Best fried chicken wings in the world. I'm sorry, Joe. You better than Popeyes, but, you know. This is a whole nother level. And Now, I looked at this man and I looked at him, and over all these years that I've known him, he really hadn't changed. He's still a dresser that's real cool, still zany. But all these years, he hasn't been affected by trends. He hasn't been affected by the opinions of people. He still makes the same good food, and he still dresses according to the way he wants to dress. I'm trying to tell somebody in here today that we shouldn't be affected by what's taking place out there. We should not be affected by the political system. We should not be affected by the opinions of those who hold those political systems to be important. We should be affected by something that's far bigger and far greater. Our focus should not be on the things of this world or the cares of this world, but on the kingdom of God and his plan for your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? So I want to help us this morning to get to a place where I am personally. I was on vacation. I thought, listen, I was thinking and praying, and I said, God, I just don't want to come out and say stuff that's my opinion. I want to say something. You've given Lisa and myself a responsibility to care for two churches, and we're going to care for those churches to the best of our ability. And we're not going to try and teach you something that's an opinion. We want to teach you something that is the plan and the purpose and the will of God. We don't want to teach you and talk to you about something that will tickle you and make you feel good. We want to give you something that will establish you and make you steadfast in the work of God. So that when the tough times comes, you aren't going to be tossed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine, but you'll stand firm in the purpose of God and do the will of God for your life. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you this morning? Because, beloved, there are people out there and there are ministries out there that will just tickle you. But I'm not here to tickle you. I'm here to tell you the truth. I'm here to get you to the place where you're solidly trusting in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're trusting him for his guidance. And are you hearing what I'm saying to you this morning? Well, I'll tell you what, I was asleep a minute ago. Man alive. So I want to get us someplace. I want you to go to Mark's Gospel chapter 4 with me. I'm going to do my best with what little sleep I had. I'm going to do my best. Mark chapter 4. Now you know this, and this is familiar to all of us about the parable of the sower. So I want to read something to you to help you understand where we're going. Verse 14, and it says, the sower sows the word. Now listen, let me tell you something. The most important thing that you and I can have in this time is not an opinion, but the word of God. What's going to keep us firm and not be shaken by what's going on in the world is the word of God. His word establishes you. His word gives you peace. When you can't trust in anything else, you can trust in his word. The Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. He's going to tell you the truth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's verse 14, and it says, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones that ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when the tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and listen, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. He says the thing that causes primarily for us to be unfruitful is when we take upon ourselves the cares of this world. My concern is not for the cares of this world. I am concerned with the cares of the kingdom. That's my focus. And what we have to do is get away from putting our focus on the things of the... Listen, beloved, there ain't nothing that this world is worth to you to give everything to it, because this stuff is not going to last. The Bible says the grass withers and the flames and the earth, or whatever, I can't remember. And the and the breath of the Lord blows on it and it dries up, but the word of the Lord endures forever. We got to focus on his word, not our opinions, not our feelings. Do you know our feelings can deceive us? Can deceive us. When Miss Lily tells me to straighten up my man cave, my feelings can say, she's getting at me. The fact of the matter is, she's right. And beloved, we need to look at things for what they are. Listen, I know she ain't saying nothing to me that's going to hurt me. And I'm not saying anything to anybody in this place that will hurt them. Everything I give you, I want to see you established in the will of God for your life. And yeah, I'm going to clean my man cave. I got a whole suitcase full of stuff to put away. I'm going to get it done, Miss Lily. But the cares of this world, you see that. I am not to be entangled in the concerns of this world. His word should have an impact on me and cause me to look to another world. The cares, listen, that word when it says the cares of this world, it actually defines in the original Greek as distracting anxieties. Distracting anxieties. In other words, that the cares of this world, when we're caught up into that, it distracts us from the thing we should be focused. Are you hearing me? The thing we should be focused on. And when we get caught up into the things of this world, the things that we are should be focused on become null and void. And we are not effective or fruitful in the thing of God because we're not focusing. Am I making sense here? And so he wants us to get away from that. The distractions of this world. Hebrews 11 teaches us that through faith and through the right focus, we see the heroes of faith. I want you to go to Hebrews 11. Stay there just for a second. I'm going to take you through a number of scriptures because I want to get some where. He doesn't want us to be focused on the cares of this world. There should be another world that we're focused on. Are you hearing me? It is the kingdom that we are to focus on. We should have this otherworldly mind. Our focus is on another world. I don't know how I can emphasize that anymore. But Hebrews 11, let's begin to read it. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going. Let me tell you, one of the biggest problems with this world is everybody thinks they need to know what the plan is in the future and rich with sin. We always got to see, this guy's got to have a plan. That's poppycock. If you're walking with God, you simply need to trust God that he has your future in his hands. And he's going to lead you into the way that he wants you, in the things that he wants you to do. Hello. Abraham, who is the father of our faith, didn't know where he was going. He is the father of our faith. And if we have faith like Abraham, we are assured to complete the things that God wants us to do the way Abraham did. Come on, somebody. It's going to get better. Don't look so sad. It is going to get better. And it says, by faith, verse 9, he dwelt in the land of promise in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited. Everybody say he waited. See, that means I'm not settling for the now. I'm not just settling for what I am and what I see in this world. I'm looking for something better. He said, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Are you with me so far? Okay, so we're looking for something more than what we see in this world right now. We're looking for something better, far more dynamic. And Jesus even taught his disciples to pray for it, to not only talk about it, but to pray for it. He said, Father, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth the way it is in heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? I don't know if you know this or not, but God's desire through you is to establish something of heaven here on earth. So that when people see you, they see and anticipate something that is coming. It ain't here yet, but it is on the way. And it's through you that he wants to manifest that. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He wants to bring something of his glory into the midst of this darkened world. And yes, the Bible, there was a book out talking about this present darkness. Yeah, sometimes this world is dark, but I'm talking about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ who shines in this darkness, and this dark light will cause that darkness to dissipate.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, talk to me in this place. If you're hungry for the presence of God, if you're tired of the normal thing, if you want more than you've experienced, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, what is it that we're supposed to do? 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now, I want to show you what we're supposed to be. For you new people, I'm sorry. I'm exposing you so much trauma this morning. This dude is wild. He's so loud, I can't help it. A lot of people know my background, but for your benefit, I was a drug dealer, I was an alcoholic, and I was a very violent man. But this Jesus one day shined his light.
Amen.
In my heart. And I can't help but express the joy that's inside of me. Are you with me this morning? Okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 20, it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though he were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's our responsibility. In the verses previous to that, you'll read that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And so our focus should be to represent the kingdom, because we are ambassadors to the kingdom. Ambassadors have one purpose, that is to represent the cause of the country that they're representing. In a foreign land. We are in a foreign land. We are not of this world, the Bible says. We are of a world that is of the increase in the government of his peace. There shall be no end. We are in a world that is far bigger, far greater, far more powerful. Our king is than the leaders of this world. So our focus is not now in here. Our focus is in him. Are you there? Okay. And then we're going to get to where I need to get to. Now, nothing in this world should ever take precedence over our focus over the kingdom. Nothing in this world should ever take precedence over our focus of his kingdom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nothing should ever take precedence over our focus of his kingdom. That's this distracting anxieties. Mm-hmm. Stuff that come in and stop you being fruitful for the kingdom. I'm looking at all of you in this place, and I'm telling you, God has intended you to produce fruit. Fruit that remains. I'm going to have to go on a particular diet. A diet of fruit and vegetables. Because, boy, I was killing up some meat. Well, my cousins, the last night that we were there, one of my cousins, you know, they had this going away barbecue thing. Lord have mercy. Woo! I promised myself before I got there, I am not going to get crazy. I promised myself that I'm going to go there, I'm going to enjoy the family, relatives, and the company, and I'm just going to eat moderately. And I'm going to just enjoy myself with the family. Boy, when my cousin Alan started bringing in the chicken and the ribs and the sliders, oh, the mac and cheese and potato salad and cabbage, and it was just coming in. And I had to turn my back on it. But I heard something calling me, Vince. And I looked and it was the mac and cheese sitting on the table. So I got the mac and cheese and then the spare ribs. And so it's the fruit and the veg this week. I promised myself I was going to walk every day because my daughter was going, my youngest daughter, who's pretty healthy, conscious. I didn't do no walking. I promised myself I was going to keep doing my push-ups. The only push-ups I did was the fried chicken in my mouth. Oh, glory be to God. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And I want to read to you a couple of verses from there. Matthew 22. And I'm going to read from verse 15. It says, then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might tangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples, the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know you are true, and you teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. See, these were slick people. And the Herodians were people who kind of mixed faith and paganism. And they had a mixture. And you might recall them, might call them to at that time, yesterday's politicians. And so they had a political motive behind what they were doing. And the Bible says they came to Jesus and tried to trap him and even sway him to their motivation. But see, you can't trick the word. And that's why it's important for us to understand and know and have the Word of God in our hearts. Because the Word, we don't look at something and make a determination based on our opinion, whether it's right or wrong. We make a determination based on the Word. That is, are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? Because we're looking at the coming elections and we're seeing what happened in Brexit. And some of us are afraid and we're worried about what's going to happen. I'm going to encourage you in a minute. And doesn't matter what happens, there's a God who is above all and in all. It doesn't matter who wins the election. Because that doesn't remove Jesus from the throne. He stays on the throne regardless of who wins the election. It doesn't matter. Brexit can, you know, everybody's afraid about what's happening and what will happen coming Brexit because we've made this decision. I'm going to tell you something. The vote to come out of Europe doesn't change who God is. He's still God. He was God before Brexit and he'll be God after Brexit. He'll be God of Trump or Hillary. Whatever one of them get voted in, he'll still be God. His power will not be diminished. His glory will not be taken away from. His majesty will still reign. And he'll still be who he is. It doesn't matter. And so it says in 17, tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites?" Sometimes, you know what's so dangerous is sometimes we think we could trap God or maneuver him into our desires. God will not be moved from his plan and purpose. He's got a plan and he's got a purpose. And he will not be moved from it. And he will fulfill his plan. That should give courage to some of you in this place. Because you're wondering how it's going to turn out. He had a plan from you before you were born. And he's going to complete that plan. The Bible says he completes everything he sets his hand to do. Oh, yeah. Can I just share with you? I was sitting down talking to my mom. And I was talking to her about, you know, when the doctors told her that I was crippled. And they said, "Your son, he ain't going to walk. If he walks, at best, he'll have to have a cane or crutches for the rest of his life." I said to my mom, "What was it that made you stand and believe that I would walk? And not only walk, but I played basketball, played football, ran track, did all those things I wasn't supposed to do." I said, what made you believe?" She said, "Son, I love my mom. She's an uncompromising woman when it comes to God's word." And that's what she said. "Son, I would not compromise God's word. He said it. I believed it. And that's why it is." That's my mama. That's my mama. I can go and lay my head on her shoulder still. I'm almost 60 years old. And I can lay my head on her shoulder still and she'll still talk to me like I was that little boy. Because she has authority. She knows in whom she believes. He said, where did I finish? Anybody remember? That's all right. Verse 19, show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image inscription is on this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that be God's. You know, whoever wins it, yes, whoever is head of a nation, we have to submit to the rules or the laws of that nation. We got to pay our taxes. We have to do whatever we're supposed to do. But my focus should not change. I do what's required, but my focus, that is not my focus. Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to him. And the inscription or the image of Caesar was stamped on their money. But beloved, let me tell you something. The image of God is stamped on you and me. And we are to give him what is worth, hallelujah, what he is supposed to get. It's you and me. Our focus, every aspect of our lives should belong to him. Okay, I'm going to hurry up now. Glory be to God. So let's go to Exodus. I'm going to get done. I'm almost done. I'm going to get done. Can I tell you, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how bad it gets, God does not abdicate his responsibility. He does not do what he promised he will do. He doesn't just stop and, you know, unlike us, we're fickle. Things, situations may change, we change. But God doesn't change. He doesn't change. I had three women with me out on this vacation. Lord have mercy. Yes, I'm blessed with three lovely women. My wife and my two daughters. Such a blessing. One day, I say, let's go to Simply Frank's. No, we don't want to eat no Frank's. Okay. No problem. The next day, one of them suggests, let's go to Simply Frank's. they all said, "Oh, I've been looking for this the whole vacation." Assured, he's going to do it to the very letter, and in some cases he will exceed what he promised and go further beyond than you could ever expect. Not only did he save us, beloved, but he made us joint heirs with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He went far beyond what he had to do. Now listen to me. I want you to get to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8, we're going to get, I don't care how dark it gets, we're going to read a couple of verses very quickly and then I'm going to shut this down. Exodus chapter 8, I want to show you a pattern. And when he began to deal with the children of Israel, he set a pattern. And the plagues, he instituted these plagues on Egypt, but he instituted the plagues because he was establishing a pattern. He was trying to teach people something of who he is and what he is capable and what he will do. He was trying to establish a pattern. Brother Jay, he's establishing a pattern in your life. And you're learning stuff. And sometimes you're wondering, what are these things that he is teaching me? I don't know why. I got good news for you, bro. He's got massive plans for your life. Because your heart is massive. And what it's going to do through you is going to blow your mind. Because he sees in you a servant that's willing to give his all to God. And he's going to take you to a place that you never expected you can get to. But let me tell you something, son. He's going to do something in your life. And it is not going to be far off, but it'll be soon. Soon. Well, I'm losing my voice. Help me, Lord. Did you hear what Miss Lisa said? I said, "I'm losing my voice." I said, "I'm losing my voice." Miss Lisa said, "Thank you, Jesus." Oh, thank you, Jesus. He can't talk. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 8, verse 22, it says this. "And in the day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of that land." Yes, you see that? I want everybody to see this. While the flies are plaguing everywhere, there is a spot that I have chosen. Them flies ain't touching them. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amen. I want you to go another place real quickly. Exodus chapter 9, verse 26. "Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail." Do you see the pattern? Wherever the children of God are, God has a promise that is protecting them. I don't care what is taking place around them. I got a promise on them that will keep them from the stuff that is happening out there. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you here? See, because when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, the Bible says none of their shoes wore out and their clothes never wore out. And they always had enough food. Okay, now this is where I want to get to right now. Chapter 10, verse 23. What I read earlier, verse 23 says, verse 22, "So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in the land of Egypt for 3 days. And they did not see one another, nor did any rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Everybody else had light in their dwellings. Now let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how dark it gets in the days to come, or who is put in office, in the laws that are passed, and the stuff that takes place. In our house, in our life, God's going to have light. Now, I want you to understand this. Because no matter how dark it gets, this is the encouraging thing. Because when it was dark out there, it doesn't mention the stranger or those who did not know God. But the Bible teaches us in Exodus that when the stranger would exercise the Passover or looking towards God, then God would bring them in. The light was shining in the darkness, and the light acted as a beacon for those, listen, who did not know God. And after going through all the plagues, seeing the power of God and acknowledging his power, they now have a place they can run to. Oh, that's good. See, you and I are a light. The Bible says a city on a hill, and in the middle of what will take place in the days to come, we're there so that people would have a place to run to. Now for you, in the darkness that you may be experiencing, what's so encouraging is this light will find you where you are. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're going through, this light is aggressive about your situation, and you may be sitting in darkness, but the light will find you, it will wrap itself around you and keep you from whatever is happening. Oh, come on, somebody. It will find you. Okay. I can't help it. So it says the darkness is going to come for one reason. So God, through his people, can show his goodness and his glory. No matter how dark it gets, we'll always have light. Amen. No matter what's going on out there, God will always provide for us. When the darkness, you know what I think about that. When the darkness was there, it said there was light in Goshen. In other words, this light went looking for them. Now, what you need to understand is darkness can't handle the light. In John 1, it tells us that this light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In other words, it couldn't withstand the power of this light. Now, when the light shines down on you, or in the circumstance, in the situation that we're going to be in, whatever is coming, it creates a border. And the light says to the darkness, you go this far, but you can't come any further. Yeah, see, you can't. You can't do what you want to do with my people. These are mine. Okay, finally. The light represents really God's plan. See, because it doesn't matter what Pharaoh thought to do. It doesn't matter what he determined to do. God had his way. It doesn't matter his plans or anything like that. And see, what God's trying to show us through scripture is that it doesn't matter who's in power and in what nation. They can only do what God allows them to do. Let that soak in for some of y'all. Because we begin to fight against who's going to come to power, and we start worrying about who to vote for. And how to, I'm not saying you don't vote. I say you vote with God's guidance. I say you vote. I'm going to say it again. You vote with God's guidance, not by your preference. You vote. I'm going to say it again. You vote with God's guidance, not by your preference. Because your preference, you can be fooled by your preference. But God's guidance is always right. And so, So the light represents God's plan. Now listen, help me to finish this up, God. What we need to understand, now with all of this that takes place, that anything that affects you affects God. It concerns him. If it affects you, it concerns him. The Bible says there ain't a sparrow that falls to the ground that he doesn't know about. And you are more valuable, the Bible says, than many sparrows. So whatever affects you, God knows about it. Dare I say, whatever affects you, God had a plan to allow it to affect you. But this reason, that your trust and your focus would not be in the power of man, but in trust and your focus would be in the power of God. He is weaning us off of worldly institutions and our desires that come from a worldly perspective, and he is bringing us to a perspective of his kingdom. Because in his kingdom, of the increase of his government and peace, there ain't going to be no end. There is going to be no end to it, and that's what he wants us to focus on. Can I close now? Go to Philippians 4. Yeah, I am going to close. Brexit, Hillary, nor Trump are making decisions that matter most to you or matters most concerning you. God is. He's making the decisions. But there's something that he is teaching us. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to finish right here. Philippians 4. Oh, help me. Philippians 4. Verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so no matter what comes, I believe some of us have come through a learning process that has prepared us for this time. We have been prepared. And so when we go into this time, he's not allowing it to happen because he thinks we're just going to depend on the government's ability to meet our needs. He's not allowing it because he thinks, okay, they'll pick the right candidate because they know all of their platform and everything that's going to be the best, which one and all of that stuff. No, he's allowing it because we have learned something. We have learned to trust the King of Kings. We have learned to have faith in him, not in man, not in the institution, but our faith and our trust is in him. And sometimes the hard lessons that we've learned have been hard, but they brought us to this time. Sometimes the hard lessons have been difficult, but they brought us to this time. You have come through some stuff, but you are here. You have made it through some impossibilities, and you haven't given up. You have made it to this day, and when it seemed impossible, like you won't be able to get through, you've got here. And beloved, you're here for a reason, for this reason alone, that you can give testimony to the community that you can do. I can do it all through him. He brought me through. He's going to keep me when everything is shaking and tumbling around. There's a God who's keeping me when everybody is looking for help. I have help. I have peace. I have strength. I have life. I have power. I have everything I need in Jesus Christ. Somebody holler in this place. Amen. Glory be to God. Father, I just thank you for your goodness, and I pray that you take this word and help us, God. Help us to function. Help us to move in you. Help us not to depend on our ability or our own understanding, but God, help us to trust you. Help us to believe that you're able to keep us. And God, we pray after it's all said and done, we're going to give you all the glory. We're going to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory be to God.